We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. It is Friday, and you know what that means. It's one of my favorite days of the week. And so I pray that you have had a wonderful week, a glorious week, that this week has brought you closer to Jesus, and you've moved forward in your understanding of his word and are doing great and mighty things to become the best ambassador for Christ that you can be in your current assignment. And so today I want to start off by saying thanks to the folks at Jits Concrete. You know, there are a lot of people who have jobs that air conditioning is not a benefit of that job. I one time worked retail for a lot of years, I didn't make a lot of money in retail. If you're working in retail, continue to develop your skill set. Continue to pursue God's purpose and call upon your life. But you know, you want to become all that you can be. So I didn't make a lot of money, but I viewed air conditioning as part of my benefit package in Florida in the summertime because it is really hot. The folks at Jits Concrete, they don't have that benefit. But I tell you, they know how to work their craft. They know how to work the materials. They have the connections. They know how to treat people right. And so if you've got a block or concrete job that is coming up in the near future, give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. Now, here's what I want to tell you from the construction people that I'm talking to. Don't wait until the last minute. Because there is so much construction that is going on right now that you can get in line, but your time, you might want to think that your time frame is going to be very quick, and you start checking into things and find out that it could be a while before they are able to get to you. Well, let me tell you, if you're building something from the ground up, you need a good solid foundation. That's a concrete job, and you don't want to put that off till the last minute. You want to get that lined up well in advance. 321-536-5804 will get you in touch with Greg with Jits Concrete, and you can tell him you heard about him on the Refresh radio program. So today we are going to be looking in Acts chapter 9. We are talking about things that belong to God. I thought we might wrap that up by Tuesday or Wednesday, and then we didn't. And so I want to take you to the book of Acts chapter 9. Still got two topics that we want to talk about. One of them here in Acts chapter 9, and then we will close out with the one that I think it may not be a very fancy radio program, but it is absolutely of vital importance, things that belong to God. And I will tell you that the finale is going to be something that is more valuable to him than his house or tithes and offerings, which we just got through talking about. It is the most valuable thing that he holds dear. And so you'll want to tune in for that. So that'll be next week on that. I want to take you to Acts chapter 9. Verse number 1 of Acts chapter 9 says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so if that he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And so when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. I'm going to stop the reading there. So this passage of Scripture talks about a person who is extremely zealous about persecuting Christians. What he was unaware of was that while he was persecuting Christians, he was actually persecuting Jesus, the Messiah that Saul thought he was looking for. The Messiah that he longed for was the Messiah now that he was fighting against, because he did not have adequate understanding of what God was doing in his life, in his day, and in his time. And so by the time we get to Acts chapter 9, Saul is being very zealous and has developed a reputation that has gone on before him. If you found out that Saul was coming to town and you were a Christian, you were going to make yourself scarce, because he was operating with authority and he was a little driven, shall we say, to do the world a favor and rid them of Christians, only to find out that Jesus had his sights set on Saul becoming a child of God. And so this person that is used to telling other people what to do has an encounter with Jesus, and he asked this question, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And he said, "It's hard for you to kick against the goad." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Wouldn't it be a great thing if everybody, as soon as they got saved, also had the drive to partner with Jesus in whatever mission, whatever assignment or purpose or task that Jesus had for them? This is very similar to Isaiah's encounter in chapter 6, where God asked, "Whom shall we send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." He was like, "Okay, you've got something for me to do." Okay? A lot of people think that the only responsibility that they have is to give their heart to Jesus, to have their sins forgiven, and to occasionally show up at church and warm a seat or you know, contribute financially or whatever. That's not the case. When you are saved, that's not the end. That's just the launching pad. And so you were created with a purpose in mind. And so Jesus' response to him was, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Now, there is some conversation that happens that isn't recorded in the scripture because of some things that Jesus says to Ananias. And here's what he tells Ananias. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So now Jesus is telling Saul, you may be used to telling other people what to do, but I am telling people what to do because I love you. Okay? This is fresh off of the stoning of Stephen in chapter 7. It's still fresh in everybody's memory. And so he goes and he positions himself. He can't see. He doesn't eat. The Bible says that while he is there, he is doing a lot of praying, which is always a great thing if you find yourself at a crossroads in life. Don't try and figure it out yourself. Allow God to bring revelation into your life as to what you are supposed to do. And so in order for Saul to have the revelation that he needs, Jesus has to appear to another reluctant individual, and his reluctance to Jesus' command is because of the reputation that Saul has had before. And so Jesus shows up. Now, I'm telling you, that ought to be a glorious thing whenever we're having a vision or a dream and God calls us by name. That ought to be a glorious thing. In fact, Ananias, when Jesus calls him by name, says, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord." And he says, "Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up. I want you to go to Straight Street. And there's a guy that lives on that street. His name is Judas. And inside his house," this is not Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot's already dead. He says, "But in the house of Judas is a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus, and he's praying, and I've told him that a man by the name of Ananias is going to come in, put his hands on him, so that he might receive his sight." And the person who had just said, "Here I am, Lord," said, "Wait a minute." You know, Peter at one point in time said, "Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord." And those two statements are paradoxical. They are opposites of one another. They cancel one another out. See, you cannot say no and Lord at the same time. Whenever God speaks something to us, our answer is supposed to be yes. And so Ananias said, "God, maybe you haven't heard, but I've heard that how much harm this guy has done to the saints in Jerusalem, and now he's here to bind everybody who calls on your name." And Jesus says this, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine." And that's really where we want to begin to elaborate. This is probably going to carry over some into next week, because you are a chosen vessel of God. I'm a chosen vessel of God. And every person that you see, God has chosen them to be a vessel of his. We'll elaborate that more on that more as we go along. But when you look at another believer, you need to recognize God's ownership in their life, his compassion for them, and the fact that they are a vessel. You and I are vessels. We're meant to carry around the presence of God. We are meant to carry around the Word of God. But we can't miss that possessive aspect of it, chosen vessel of God. In other words, it's not just a vessel because it was part of the package. He intentionally chose you, and he chose me. And there are a lot of people that Jesus has chosen that, just like Saul, are at this current moment hostile to faith, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit are working to intervene in that life so that that chosen vessel is radically transformed to be a glorious vessel unto the Lord. So he is a chosen vessel of mine. So here is what this particular vessel was chosen to do: to bear my name, as in to carry, before Gentiles. Okay, you've got to understand, that is a cutting edge concept. That is something that is just hard to imagine for people who for thousands of years thought they had the exclusive on the covenant relationship with God. And now Jesus shows up and he says, look, I want my name to go beyond the borders of Israel and beyond the chosen people to all people. Remember, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. For all nations. And so he says, he is going to bear my name to the Gentiles. Now, what does it mean for you and I? What does it mean for us? Should have been you and me. It means that there is someone, what is the principle? There is someone in your sphere of influence, someone in your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, and God has chosen you to be a vessel to bear his name to them. Okay? Even if they don't look alike, we don't talk alike, we don't visit the same places or anything like that, God chooses us so that we can bear his name to that group of people, and there is not an adequate substitute that is going to be able to take place. There are some people around the globe that God has really been ministering to, and they live in cultures that are closed to the external presentation of the gospel, but God visits them in dreams. But you know what happens? They need someone that it can explain to them what that dream means, what's going on. They need Ananias's to Saul's, and they need Saul's who are chosen. See, God, I mean, how much did God think of Ananias? I mean, think about it. Before Ananias had even said yes, God had already disclosed to Paul what Ananias's name was, that was going to come to him, and his life was going to be transformed. It says, he's going to put his hands on you, and you're going to receive your sight. And so he not only did that, he has sent me to you that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And so what a glorious, glorious thing that's going on. So Ananias was a chosen vessel of God to bear his name, the name of Jesus, to Saul, and Saul was a chosen vessel unto God, prized by God, to bear the name of Jesus to the Gentiles. But not only to the Gentiles, to kings and the children of Israel. Okay? A lot of times we want to pigeonhole everybody into one little niche. And I want to encourage you that as a chosen vessel of God, that we are not like the bathroom towels in the guest bathroom. You know the towels. They are the nicest towels in the house. They are the prettiest towels in the house. They are placed in the guest bathroom, not the master bathroom, because they are there to send a message that, look, this is what we use. And so if you ever go to use those, you say, you know what? That's not what you were called to do. There are a lot of people who think that they are meant to be looked at, but not to be used. And I want you to know that God wants to use you, not just in the guest bathroom, but wherever it is necessary. You know, so, well, I'm not called to do this ministry or that ministry. Well, you know what? I wasn't particularly called to be a youth pastor. But you know what God, what door God opened for me first? Youth pastor. I wasn't necessarily called to be an associate pastor, but God opened the door for me to be an associate pastor. And after the first encounter with youth ministry, and I thought, I am surely the worst youth pastor in all of the world. I mean, if you were to ask people who were there, they would say, yeah, you were boring. But I thought I was the worst youth pastor in the world. A few years ago, some people visited me who knew me when I had that reputation of myself, and they said, why would you think that? You were one of the best ones that we had. And so sometimes just because you have perspective doesn't mean it's the right perspective. And so I stepped into all of those things. I was bivocational. I didn't feel like I ever had a call to be bivocational, but I had made this decree to God. God, I will go wherever you want me to go, and I will do whatever you want me to do, but this is the call that you have on my life. And so, God, I don't care how you work it out. I'm trusting that you're going to work it out. And so Paul presented, Saul became Paul. He presented the gospel. He bore the name of Jesus before kings who knew of Jesus, who knew of what was identified as the way at that point in time, that Christians had their own distinct reputation in the community. People were coming to faith in Jesus in droves, and people knew what was going on, but God doesn't want people to know about the kingdom of God. He wants them to have the opportunity to become part of the children of God. And so he says, I want you to take the gospel to the Gentiles. I want you to take the gospel to kings. I want you to take the gospel to the children of Israel. Anybody and everybody that you have an opportunity to share the name of Jesus with, remember that God chose you and placed you for such. Listen, you are placed by divine assignment in 2020. You're here on purpose. God chose you and placed you in Brevard County. You said, I thought I just meandered around and wandered up and boom, I wound up here. Some of you say, I thought it was just a chance that I happened to be born here. No, you were chosen by God to bear his name to this community. And there may be some difficult seasons that come along, but Jesus is not just the name that we bear in good times. Jesus is the name that we bear through all of our times. So in abundance or in lack, in tranquility or in trial, remember that you represent Jesus and represent him well. Okay? I literally had a conversation with someone, and they said, sometimes traffic really bothers me. And so I don't put any Christian bumper stickers or anything like that on my car because I don't want anybody to know that I'm a Christian. when I'm driving, in case I get frustrated, I don't. And I will tell you, if there's one thing that I've discovered after, you know, almost 7 years of doing the radio program here, is this: I have to represent him well every place. You see, you may not know what my face looks like, but my voice has a little bit of distinction to it. And kind of in a humorous way, somebody said, you know, when you first started on the radio, your voice really annoyed me. And they would said, I'd turn off the radio, but I kept coming back. And so the first time that somebody ever came up and said, are you Pastor Bob from the radio? I looked at my wife and I looked at my daughters and I said, I've got to bear the name of Jesus well. In public, in private, in the neighborhood, at home, wherever it might be, I've got to represent the name of Jesus well. So today, I've got good news for you. If you're a child of the living God, you have been chosen by God. Not only did you choose him, but he chose you, and he chose you and placed us all here in beautiful Brevard County so that we can bear the name of Jesus to the people who need to hear Jesus right here in this community. So let me explain a little bit about what we've got going on this weekend. It is Labor Day weekend, and I've got great news. I don't have to lead worship this weekend. You say, I didn't think you led worship most of the time anyway. I don't, but my worship leader is unavailable this weekend. And so there was some indications that I may have to lead worship. And God, in his miraculous provision, has said, I have chosen another vessel to lead the congregation in praise and worship this weekend. And so I get to focus on preaching the word of God. I get to focus on entering into his presence. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. 165 North Grove Street. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have our worship service at 10:30 in the morning. The seats are all spaced out. You know, if you don't have a real good arm, you might not even be able to throw a rock far enough to hit somebody in the room. It's not quite that far away. It's just a little over 6 foot to the next person. But you get to worship God. Listen, let's not miss our opportunity this weekend to come together to worship the Lord and praise the King of Kings. Let's bring the name of Jesus to Brevard County, and let's praise him together. Come join us if you can. If not, we'll see you here Monday on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.